Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Chapel's out. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio here at Atlanta Christian College. It's Church of Christ, but any denomination is welcome. Hey, young man, I got to ask you a question on the radio. What'd you just learn in chapel? Give me the summary. Cliff's notes.
We all preach Christ died, and we all preach He is the Savior. And I've learned that it doesn't matter what you do, who you are, where you come from. That's what we do as Christians.
Because we got a mission field wherever we go.
Exactly.
Rock on. Anything else did you learn?
It's very interesting how we treat each other as some of us second-class citizens, other of us just because we're not paid to do ministry.
All right.
Or not. But
yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're all on the same, under one God, with one faith and one love.
Okay. Now, when you say one God, one faith, one love, are you talking about Christians or Buddhists and Hindus?
I believe all the above. Whether you believe in Hindu or Buddhist, all under one belief that truthfully all religions face off love.
Okay. So tell me then, why, if we're all kind of on the same path, what would be the reason then for preaching Jesus wherever we are?
Well, for those who believe that Jesus... And Jesus commands us to make disciples of all nations. It doesn't matter. Our Holy God has given us the freedom of will to speak what we want.
Should we try to make disciples of the Hindu and the Buddhist?
All who are willing to accept the invitation.
Okay. But they're good to go if we don't?
That's their choice.
Okay. Alrighty, we're at the Atlanta Christian College. Let's ask these ladies. Hey, ladies, did you just come out of chapel?
Yes.
Rock on, would you tell me on the radio I want to know what you learned today in chapel. Would you be willing to tell me in a sentence or two?
Sure.
What'd you hear?
I learned that God's always there for people and that we should never give up on them.
On people or God?
On God.
Never give up on God.
Exactly.
So always trust God?
Exactly.
Okay. And I'm new to this campus.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, who is God, or how do you present God, who he or she is?
It's kind of difficult to explain. You want to say something?
You want to take it?
He's the Son of God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Trinity. He died on the cross to save us for our sins. I mean, he's the Alpha and the Omega. There's numbers of...
The Bible God.
Yeah.
Is that what you were trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. All right. Hey, ladies, thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. We are at Atlanta Christian College. There is a couple leaning against a Honda Accord specifically. And I'm just going to ask them if they're willing to, although I think this might be a relationship conversation. It looks like we might have a boy-girl friend situation here. And I'm interrupting it. So I am now going to boldly go where no wise man should. Hey, excuse me, you guys.
Yes.
You're students here, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would you be willing to tell me on the radio what you just learned in chapel today? Were you in chapel?
Yeah, we were just in chapel.
Cool. Tell me what did you learn in there?
Well, we learned about what it's like to be a Christian and being crucified with Christ.
What does it mean?
That we are set apart in everything that we do as ministry. And no matter what job you do it for the Lord.
Okay, and how do we do that?
Bye.
I'm a farmer. How do I do that for the Lord?
Thanking him for the crops that you have, tithing what you have, giving it to the Lord.
There's a lot of faith in being a farmer, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because your crops depend on the weather, and God provides the weather. So, you know, in that kind of sense, you're putting a lot of faith in trusting God. And, you know, it's a lot of times the hard times is what really grows us instead of the easy times where we think we know it all and have everything figured out.
And what about preaching the gospel? Where does that come into it?
Just in your words and your actions, you know, as he was talking about, it can be in ministry, you know, as a preacher, or it can be somebody who's taking care of the lawn care around here. That can be a ministry as well.
All right, fair enough. Now, this is Church of Christ. Am I correct about that with Atlanta Christian College? Are you Church of Christ by any chance?
Not.
I can't find anybody who's Church of Christ
here. We're actually the community. I mean, it's close.
We go to a non-denominational church.
Okay, what's community? What does that mean? Is that a denomination?
No, it's a
denominational. Well, no, it's not denomination.
Is that the name of the church?
It's Crosspoint Community Church.
Okay, good, because I can't keep track of another denomination.
Yeah.
All right, do you have any idea what are the distinctives of Church of Christ? Do you know? I don't.
Distinctive of Church of Christ?
Not really. There is something... I remember somebody had asked me about that, and it was about baptism, and they just wanted to know what they believed about the Church of Christ and baptism. And I know that they do believe that baptism is more than just a symbol, but it's not necessary to be a Christian, though. That's the only thing that I can think of. That's the only thing.
So it could be a baptism
different.
Thing that's maybe a little bit different.
A little bit different,
right.
Yeah.
Then perhaps. Tell me, as a non-denominational Christian, which I presume you are, tell me what I must do to become a Christian.
Well, believe that the Lord has covered your sins through his crucifixion, and believe him and follow him with your actions and your words and your deeds.
How would you put it, young man?
I have to go along with what she said, and also as Hebrews 12:1 says, run the race with perseverance and endurance, only to Christ, and putting off all the sinful things that cling on to you.
So I would just want to make sure I understand you correctly. I have to, what do I need to do at first? I'm sorry.
Believe that the Lord has covered your sins through his crucifixion.
I believe that the Lord has covered my sins. Mm-hmm. So I presume you're calling me a sinner. Is that correct?
We're all sinners. We're born sinners.
I'm a pretty good person.
Well, just because you're good doesn't mean that you don't sin. Everyone's born sin. You don't have to teach someone to steal. You don't have to teach someone to lie. We're born sinners. It's a sin. It's the spirit that's in us that's sin.
So if I do those things, I'm actually not good at all, am I?
Right.
Okay, so I need to do that, and then I need to persevere. Is that what you're saying?
Well, after you've become a Christian, then you must do everything that you can to move forward and to cling on to the salvation that we have in Christ.
Now, is that because I'm saved or in order to be saved?
Well, I know Mr. Huxford had talked about, you know, somebody's just, you know, when you say you're saved, it's not that you got saved, it's that you're being saved by Christ.
So when am I actually saved?
Well, that's the question I'm not really sure. I mean, I know that when you ask Christ to be in your heart, you are saved. But after that, I mean, you should just do everything that you can to be as close to Christ.
Do you know the difference between justification and sanctification?
Oh.
You mean justification through works?
Well, that could be. I mean, there's...
Or do you mean sanctified by what the Lord has done for us?
Well, I would say justified based on what the Lord has done for us, and sanctified.
Oh, so basically we can do whatever we want to if we're saved?
No.
No?
We wouldn't want to.
Okay.
No, we wouldn't go on sinning so that grace can more abound, heaven forbid. But we get justified one time when you repent and trust the Savior. You get saved. You're declared just. You're declared righteous because of what Jesus did. And then you begin the process, the lifelong process of growing in holiness, sanctification. So you're saved one time, but the sign that you're saved is that you're continuing in the faith and that you're growing in holiness. You are being sanctified. That would be the... So you get saved for sure when you repent and trust the Savior, but then he grows you in holiness until you finally die. You never are perfect until you die.
Right.
Then he glorifies us, but he justifies us, grows us in sanctification, and then glorifies us when we die. So that would be how I understand the progression of when you get saved for sure and what works have to do with it. Works demonstrate that you're a Christian, but they don't make you a Christian and they don't keep you in the faith. It shows that you're in the faith. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a good definition.
You go for that?
I would agree with that, yes.
Cool. All right. Hey, y'all. Thanks very much for the chat.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. By any chance, boyfriend, girlfriend, what's going on
brother,
here?
Sister.
Brother and sister. Yeah.
Really?
I'm a junior. She's a freshman.
And you get along?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's up with that? You like each other, too?
Well,
yeah.
I tell you what. Well, now we do. It used to be I wanted to kill her when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I did everything I could just to get rid of her, but now we're friends, so.
When did you get saved?
Oh, I was saved when I was either 4 or 5.
Really?
I was really young.
You understood you were a wretched sinner when you were 4?
I had a vagrant, yeah.
That you were vile and corrupt by nature?
I had a very simplistic view of that.
And you hated your sister when you were 6 and 7 and 8?
Well, after I was... I had to work on that. So...
All right. And when did you get saved?
I was very little, but I really don't think I understood it till I was probably about 11 or 12.
And then you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it's more than just repenting. It's about the relationship.
Yeah, it is. And I think even in order to repent, which means to turn from your sins, not that you're perfect, but you've got a new attitude and a new heart, to understand that really is very big. And to understand getting humble before God is a pretty big concept.
It's a process that we keep understanding our whole life.
Yeah, I suppose we can keep growing in that knowledge, but that time when we definitely got saved, usually it's demonstrated by a complete change of life and heart and attitude. So usually people who say, well, I got saved here, but I really didn't start acting like it till there, I tend to think, well, you probably didn't get saved until there either, because your life will demonstrate that you actually are. All right, you guys, thanks very much for the chat. I appreciate it.
All right,
see you. Goodbye. We are at Atlanta Christian College. And the question here is, are the people confused or straight on salvation? We'll keep checking it out at Atlanta Christian College, and I'll work on my grammar. Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Hey, hey, thank you for joining us here on Wretched Radio today. And we want you to take some time to visit the Wretched website, wretched.org. The Wretched website contains amazing content. Full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. And the Wretched library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. And you can also visit our donate page where you can prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Because without the support of our listeners just like you, there would be no Wretched. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do this without you. You can find all of these resources available to you right now at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now a message from our dear brother Paul Marty of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Bible Clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Just in case it isn't difficult enough to do ministry in poor Eastern Europe.
2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, and especially hard for the vulnerable kids and families the Tomorrow Club serve. But support from the Wretched audience has enabled us to continue to bring a message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the forsaken places we serve. Thank you so much.
If you are a Tomorrow Club supporter, I echo his gratitude. If you are not, would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? You can sponsor your own kids' club in Eastern Europe so efficiently. Just $30 per month to disciple 30 kids. Learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
It's here! It's here! Road Trip to Truth is finally here! We know you've been waiting patiently, but it is finally here! Join host John Ferbarez on his journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. Don't believe us? Maybe you'll take Tim Challey's word for it. He says, quote, "For too long, too much of the material prepared for young folk has been insultingly shallow and embarrassingly trite. What makes it even worse is that many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. I'm thankful that Road Trip to Truth unashamedly and effectively deals with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith." So visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copies. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just lurking in the bushes. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Hey, dude, are you heading to class right now?
Yes, sir.
As you're going, could I ask you a question on radio?
Absolutely.
What are you studying?
Biblical studies with a minor in youth ministry.
Good for you. So you want to be a youth pastor?
I am a youth minister.
You are right now. Cool. I'm a youth. You can probably tell.
Okay. Sure.
Fine. So I'm a youth, and I come to you and I say, youth pastor, tell me, what must I do to be saved? What would you tell me?
Confess Christ, repent for your sins, believe that he died on the cross, and strive your hardest to live holy. You know what I mean? Obey the Ten Commandments. If you make a mistake, pray, repent, come see me, and we'll try over and over and over again. God is always going to forgive you.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you saying that if I sin, I need to get resaved?
If you sin, you need to repent for your sins so that you can start anew and fresh with God.
Okay, I'm a little confused, so I want you to clarify for me.
Sure.
Okay, I do what you said. You said confess and repent and believe that Jesus died for my sins.
Yes.
Are all my sins forgiven at that time?
Yes.
So now it's the next day. It's Thursday.
Okay.
And I had a dirty thought. Now what do I do?
You need to repent again because that dirty thought could possibly very well be a sin. So you need to repent again and say, okay, God, help me with my weaknesses. Because the Bible says, seek your own soul salvation. Day by day, it's going to be a struggle that we have to die to our flesh. So day by day, we got to say, okay, if I sinned, I got to repent. If I sinned, I did something that goes against God's word, I got to say, God, forgive me and help me strengthen my faith walk. So day by day, God will make you stronger and stronger and stronger into your mature Christian.
So I need to confess it because that's the right thing to do.
Yes.
Even though my sins have already been forgiven.
Every time you sin, you need to repent and confess it again.
And what if I do a sin that I'm not aware of? You know, I didn't even realize I was mean to my little sister. I don't even know that I did it. Do I still need to confess it?
Yeah. So, well, one of the parts that we do in daily prayer, one of the things that I would guide and lead young people to do is that you have sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins that you didn't know you committed and sins that you do know. So in your daily prayer, God, forgive me of my sins of omission and my sins of commission, the sins that I know I committed and the sins that I didn't know, and give me the knowledge and the wisdom to see them and work on me and help me just get stronger in you.
Okay. Now, as a youth minister, and you're studying here at Atlanta Christian College.
Yes, sir.
And when you get the kids together on Sunday night or Wednesday night?
Sunday morning.
Okay, Sunday morning. What's a typical hour look like with the kids?
Typical hour, I'm in an urban setting, so we're going to play some Christian hip-hop, talk about what went on in school, check the temperature, see how everybody's doing, and then I'm going to go for a message. Sometimes I'll base the message off of, you know, one of the Christian rap songs that I play. Sometimes I base the message on what the kids is talking about. I have some awesome kids. Some of them will say, well, I need to talk about this. And then you have the normal issues that you want to address, sex, choices, peer pressure, and you kind of just go for it and put a biblical spin. And my biggest message is God's rules that he has in the Bible, there aren't rules to prevent us from having fun. They're rules that help us and protect us from, like, getting in trouble.
All right. Do you ever, with the kids, just teach them through the Bible?
Of course. Like, I mean, every scripture, I'm going to crack open the Bible. But I think in order to be relative, in order, we're always casting out a line and we're always fishing. You have to do something to kind of invite them in to where you're at. You have to meet them in their cultural norms, which for me, I use music a lot. And then, but I'm all, every single day, every single time I teach the kids, I'm going to crack open the Bible. You know what I mean? I'm going to motivate and challenge.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I find that very fascinating that you say, I've got to meet them where they are in the culture.
Yes.
Doesn't the Bible tell us where they are and what they need? And that is scripture.
The Bible does tell us where they are and what they need, and I think, but like Paul, you know what I mean? Like Paul said, I've become all things to all people so that I can win some. You know what I mean? I think we got to understand where our people are at, old and young. You know what I mean? Newborn in faith.
I understand that, but why does the connection have to be a hip-hop song versus, here we are, we're meeting to study the Bible. That's what we do here.
It's fish, dude. Hip-hop is just a worm to get those fish.
But aren't they already in church?
Sure they are. But why are they in church? Is it in church because they want to come? Or are they in church because their parents make them? You know what I mean? And those are questions that you pray about, you wrestle about. But at the end of the day, right? I believe in God's word. I believe in the Bible. God, Jesus used parables so that he could connect with people. Paul, you know what I mean, studied all of the cities that he was in and really became part of that culture so that he could win people. Well, me as a youth minister, I got to understand my kids and where they're at. And I got to do things that's not going to compromise God's word, but at the same time, have them understand, you know what, Rahsaan is cool, and he really cares about us, and he's trying to bring us that gospel.
Mm-hmm. So Paul, when he went to a city, would study the music or
the culture.
And he would then present those things, or didn't he just preach from the scriptures and reason from the scripture?
I think what was the awesome thing that I think about Paul is that while he lived in those cities, he understood the context of those cities. You know what I mean? He worked.
Paul was a person in the gospel. I think so, too. I agree with that. My only, and maybe you won't even disagree with me, is that the kids understand we're here for the word.
Uh-huh.
The power is in the word. And while we can show different demonstrations of that through worship or through music, If we're luring them in with music, then we have to keep them with music, and
absolutely not. You have to. Everything is planted and rooted in the salvation grace of Jesus, the salvation of God, the redemption of God. So if that's just a little bait, a little introduction, but the message leads to the saving grace of God's kingdom, you're leading them to God. You know what I mean? So at the end of every service, in the middle of every service, as soon as you turn that song off, as soon as you finish your icebreaker, it's all about taking them to the glory of God. You're good, because they get to know and experience God and his sovereignty. Period. So that's just a little bit of fish.
All right, dude. Thank you very much. See you, man.
Have
goodbye. Now, this guy, nice guy, and he understands the gospel, and he clearly has a passion for young people. That luring people in concept, trying to make sure that they think that I'm cool, I just don't think it's needed. I understand it. I just don't think it's necessary, because we still need to. Okay, I understand Sunday school, you could argue, is different than church, but Sunday school, in my opinion, isn't about luring them in, helping them think that we're cool. It's about learning about Jesus. So it should be, welcome everybody, open your Bibles. I know there can be chit-chat, and I know what he's going for. I get it. And sometimes we do that even when we start preaching, by just chit-chatting a little bit as an icebreaker. I got it. But we want to make sure that we're not relying on the rap or the hip-hop, or the kids aren't being drawn to the music, but they're being drawn to the Savior. And I only fear that we maybe delude ourselves when we say, well, they're not being, we're giving them Jesus, but we bring them in with that. Well, not sure. And I don't think that Paul was doing Athenian hip-hop when he would stand up in the Areopagus in order to preach. I don't think that contextualization goes that far. All right, there's a couple of guys. Hey, fellas, hold on before you go in there.
Hello.
Are you students here?
We are.
Perfect. May I ask you a question on the radio?
Sure, okay.
What are you studying?
Music.
Music?
Performance and pedagogy.
That's to teach it, right?
Yes.
I learned that actually from somebody a few minutes ago. Otherwise, I was completely clueless.
Sorry.
All right, so you want to do what with that?
I want to give voice lessons and also sing professionally.
I can tell.
So,
just from listening to you, I can tell. Tenor?
Yes.
Cool. So, but this is a Christian school, right?
Yes, yes.
Do you want to do Christian music?
I'd like to do Christian music. Yes, sir. But as far as teaching goes, just teach anyone who wants to learn.
All right. So what do you think would make a good Christian song?
A good Christian song?
A good Christian worship song.
Well, one that is intimate but intellectual at the same time. One that's not completely emotional, but also captures the mental side, because we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And if you can capture both of those in the same song, you really got something.
And what you said, it was the emotional?
The emotional, not just emotional, because, you know, there's always an emotional part and a feeling part to a song. However, our emotions
aren't
always.
Does the feeling come from the words or the way the song is written?
Feeling comes from the relationship with God, or the relationship that you want to have with God. That's the emotional side. But the lyrics itself stimulates the mind, and it also stimulates the heart. So when you want to have a relationship with God, or you have an intimate relationship with God,
have
the emotional
side. Have you ever been in a class where they said, hey, do this key change at this time, and that really gets them to put their hands up?
Most certainly.
Oh, no.
Most certainly.
That's manipulation.
It is manipulation. That's the battle we face as musicians in the Christian world. A lot of people, especially commercial Christian singers, they manipulate a lot of things. It's a lot of feigned emotion, but it's not really real. Even worship artists, when you get up on stage and you are, I hate to say stage, but that's really what it is.
They're performing.
They're performing. But there are also those professors who really believe that you have to perform in order to be a true worship leader.
How come?
I think there is an aspect when you get on, when you go sign up to be a worship leader at a church. There's an aspect of it. They want you to perform. They want the people who are paying you want to see.
Wow, that kills
the
me.
People.
Oh no,
worshiping. And if
shouldn't
they don't
be focusing on the Savior and not the guy who's singing about it and busting a move.
You know, sometimes.
Sometimes what?
Sometimes motivation is our motivations are wrong. You know,
you are correct. All right, hey. Go warm up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Sir.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Atlanta Christian College on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. While churches across the country have faced restrictions or complete shutdowns through the COVID-19 pandemic, many have seen more disengagement from professing Christians and regular attendees when it came to attending in-person or online services. According to a new survey by Barna Research, as of September of this year, around 1 in 5 churchgoers, that's 22% of churched adults and 19% of practicing Christians, never attended church service during the pandemic, whether in person or virtually. Savannah Kimberlin, Barna's director of published research, said in a news release that overall in the data, we're seeing that there's a decline in church engagement during COVID-19. Kimberlin explained that one possible reason for the attendance drop can be attributed to elderly people who are not used to the digital format of the church service along with activities. She added, however, that the decline in church attendance during COVID-19 follows a continued trend of decreasing church attendance that has been ongoing since 2008. Kimberlin explained that the pandemic would increase the trend in a matter of months. The survey, which sampled 1,302 American adults, categorized the participants into three groups: practicing Christians who showed past faith with strong church attendance, churched adults who sporadically attended church, and unchurched adults who don't usually attend church. The research found that 53% of adults never attended in-person or digital church services during the pandemic, while only 19% attended services on a weekly basis. Additionally, 73% of practicing Christians and 60% of churched adults attended church at least once a month throughout the pandemic. The survey also noted that all practicing Christians and 80% of churched adults attended service at least within the past month before COVID-19 hit the U.S. earlier this year. Regardless of the decline in church attendance, some respondents did say that they watched a service online. The 53% of dropouts or churched adults who did not attend church in any of its formats said they watched online. Meanwhile, 24% said they watched a service, but they never attended a service in person or digitally. In general, Barna found that 18% of practicing Christians and 26% of churched adults watched a service online. Kimberlin said that she is unsure of what the future holds for the American church post-pandemic. While many Christians stopped attending, some non-believers have shown a growing interest in their faith. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is the story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What grade would you give these students this? Is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. I'm in a brand new place, lovely little campus. It's not huge and glorious, but it's very nice, well manicured, nice buildings. It's called Atlanta Christian College. It's a general arts campus, not necessarily training people for ministry, but it's training them for whatever profession, to have it be Christ-centered. And we have been talking to these young people, basically asking them, what's the gospel? The basic stuff, the foundational stuff. How do you think they have been doing? Have they been able to articulate clearly and well the gospel? I will tell you this, that if you ask most Christians to give a testimony, most
will not do it probably as articulately and by the book as you would like them to, most likely. But that doesn't mean they're not saved. It does mean, though, that we should ask them questions without being too leading, and they should be able to give it up when the questions are asked. So overall, that's what I've been doing. I've been having to ask some questions. What do you mean by that? How do you understand that? And then if they give the correct understanding, you can go, okay, got it. And it simply means that, like all of us, they should clean up their lingo and make sure that they are concise, should be able to explain things articulately and coherently, and just so that everything fits together. And that's really what we've been experiencing here overall, that they mostly get the point, but we sure wish it were clearer, don't we? Now, there's a lady walking with a backpack, because we're on a campus, and I think she's trying to avoid me. Excuse me. Hey, while you're walking over to wherever you're walking, could I ask you a question on the radio?
Yes.
What are you studying here?
I'm studying elementary education.
You want to be a teacher?
Yes.
Good for you. A Christian teacher or public school teacher?
I would like to do teaching in the public school environment.
How come?
Because to be a positive influence on children that may not live in a Christian environment.
Good for you, but you know you can't really talk about Jesus in a public school anymore.
You're right, but I just want to be a positive influence for them, someone they can look up to.
Good for you. Now, how do you think you'll do that? Just by living a certain way, they're going to see you're different?
Yes, just by living just the Christian life and not the world's way of doing things.
Okay, let's say I'm one of your students, mm-hmm. and I've been watching you, teacher. You seem so nice. You seem so happy. What's the deal? Where does this come from? What would you say to me?
I would say, well, I put God first in everything I do in my life, and I just look to Him for everything, and He's my inspiration and my joy, and that's where I get my way of living and my way of doing things.
And who's God?
Well, God is the creator of everything, the creator of life, and if you want to get to know Him, maybe you should come to church with me or something.
Okay, but I can't go to church on Sunday. I'm busy that morning. Would you just tell me?
Sure. God is the creator of life, the creator of everything, and He is my inspiration and my joy.
Why?
Because just reading His word and just reading the Bible is just my way of life, my way of doing things.
What does it say?
It says that we should accept Him and we should accept Him into our hearts and into our lives.
What does that mean? Who should I accept into my heart and life, and why?
Jesus Christ.
And why should I accept Him?
Because that's what the Bible says.
Does it say that I should accept Him?
Yes, it does.
Why should I do that?
Because if you want to go to heaven and live everlasting, you should accept Him.
Yeah, I do want that, but I think I'm going already.
How do you know that?
I don't know. I'm a pretty good person.
Well, you have to confess with your mouth and confess your sins and confess them into your heart.
Okay, so I have to confess that I'm a sinner?
You have to confess your sins so that God can forgive you of your sins.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think I'm a sinner.
Well, everybody has fallen short of the glory of God and has sinned.
Mm-hmm. And so because of that, let's say that I died without accepting Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
If you don't accept Jesus Christ into your heart, then you go to hell.
How come?
Because you have not confessed Christ in your heart.
Why do I need to do that, though?
Because if you want to live everlasting and want to live just a joyous life in heaven, you have to accept Him into your heart.
But I don't understand why.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, but why Jesus? Why not Buddha?
Because God is the creator. Buddha or Allah or anybody else is not the way to live everlasting.
Okay. But Jesus is.
Yes.
Okay, so how does that work? So I accept Jesus. Why do I get to go to heaven, though? Because I'm still a sinner, right?
Now God forgives you of your sins.
Why?
Because that's what the Bible says.
Okay.
He's a God of second chances.
Okay, but how is it that I'm sort of thinking to myself, if God just forgives people,
mm-hmm.
shouldn't He punish bad people?
No, He doesn't punish bad people.
I thought there was hell.
Yes, there's hell for people who doesn't accept Christ into their heart.
So why do they go there?
Because they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
But I guess I don't understand why they have to do that still.
Well, there's different reasons, but if you don't, the main thing is you have to accept Jesus Christ into your heart in order to live an everlasting life. If you don't, you go to hell.
Hmm. All right, I'm looking. Let's see, there's the chapel. Okay, the cross on top there. Does that have anything to do with this?
Yes, Jesus, he died on the cross for us, for our sins, and he took the beatings and the whippings and the scratches and the scars so that we could live forever.
That helps me out, because that's what I deserve, but Jesus did it on my behalf.
Yes.
That's why I need to do that, so that my sins can be forgiven, because God punished his son on my behalf, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Where does repentance come in?
Repentance come in, I guess if you sin, you have to ask God to forgive you of your sins so you can repent for your sins.
Do I need to turn from my sins?
Yes, you do.
Forsake my sins?
Yes.
Okay, that's repentance?
Yes.
And I need to do that?
Yes.
All right. Hey, thanks very much for the chat. I appreciate it. I hope school goes well.
All right, thank
okay,
you.
See ya. Goodbye. Not only do we need to be careful how we use the language because it's not biblical, I think what we just heard is a good example of why we don't use that language. Did you hear how far I had to dig to get to the truth of it? And while this lady understood all those little components, they were buried way underneath accept Jesus, way far away from repentance, way far away from faith. We need to make sure that our language is clear and concise. Not only is it confusing to the hearer, but in this case, frankly, it was a little confusing to the speaker. Let's talk with a lady who's having an ice cream cone. Excuse me, young lady. Could I talk to you on the radio and ask you a question about what you're doing here?
Yes.
What are you studying?
Early childhood education.
Early childhood education. And this is a Christian school, correct?
Correct.
So you're a Christian?
Yes, I am.
What do I need to do to become a Christian?
I'm not good at telling people, but it's like a process you have to go through. It's not something that you just run into. Get to know God better, like, and ask ministers and stuff to learn more about God.
Okay. Well, I'm asking you. I want to become a Christian. What do I need to do?
Come to this college.
I can't. I live too far away. What must I do to become a Christian?
Give more of your time to God. Like, when you wake up in the morning before you do anything, like, give your time to God. Like, before you do anything, give God some time. And then you'll get, like, closer and closer to God. And try, like, reading the Bible more.
And if I do all those things, I'm good to go?
I think so.
Okay. And so what happens to somebody who doesn't do that?
I think that if you don't do those things, like, how can you get to know God better? How can you get closer to Christ if you don't do those things? So.
Okay. What about if I use the phrase repent, what does that word mean?
Forgiveness, like asking God for forgiveness of your sins.
Do I need to do that?
Yes, I think so.
How come?
Everybody, I'm a Christian, I do like bad things, so I think I have to repent sometimes because you're not perfect.
But why do I need to repent? Why do I even need to say I'm sorry?
For like the bad things you did so God can forgive you.
Why can't he just forgive me?
Why can't he just forgive you?
Yeah.
Because God gives everybody second chances and chances after chances.
All right, eat your ice cream cone. It's okay. A disaster. Goodbye. Thanks for the chat. Appreciate it very much. That ice cream isn't the only thing that's melting. Is that young lady saved? The answer is I definitely don't know. It is entirely possible that she could be, but was that a clear articulation of the gospel? No. Where does this come from? This comes from bad language. It also comes from very bad teaching, and all of these things simply are not clear to most people. And it's not just today, and it's not just on this campus. I'm telling you, it's everywhere we go. What you just heard from that Christian young lady, honestly, if I were her elder and I were listening to her give that confession, I would be asking so many questions and most likely would say, we need to make sure that you're actually saved. Hoofda. The importance of clear biblical language, the importance of teaching foundational things like the law of God and sin and wrath and righteousness and judgment. I would love to keep talking to that woman. She's going into the building, and she's got an ice cream cone running all over her hand. We are at Atlanta Christian College. It's Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
Not that we normally quote Joseph Stalin on Wretched, nevertheless, he rightly said the death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic. We have to be so careful that our Christian hearts don't grow cold when we hear the statistic that 1 million babies die every year from abortions. We need to remember that is one baby at a time. That is one mommy. That is one child. That is even one daddy.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Ultrasounds save lives, one baby at a time. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched for just $28 per ultrasound? Please help save one baby at a time. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
If there's one thing I know about you wretches, it's that you love a good deal. And as the saying goes, ask and you shall receive. Okay, so you didn't ask, but you're still going to receive. Starting November 27th through November 30th, Wretched is having its Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. I know you're excited, and you should be. For 4 days only, not only are tons of items in the Wretched store 33% off. All orders of $40 or more will receive free shipping and a free copy of Herman Who. It doesn't get much better than that. So mark your calendars, set your reminders, and schedule your agendas for November 27th through the 30th for Wretched's Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. To find these amazing deals and steals, you'll need to visit the Wretched store at wretched.org. The Wretched store at wretched.org. And let's get them savings. That's the Wretched store at wretched.org.
No doubt, many of your kitchen table conversations have involved health insurance. Mrs. Friel and I used to talk about it a lot, but not since we joined MediShare. Biblical health sharing. Over 400,000 Christians sharing each other's medical expenses, so far to the tune of $4 billion. You can be confident they can handle your medical bills too. An average family through MediShare will save approximately $500 per month, and you'll be able to sleep at night. And right now, they're waiving their application fee during the month of November, which just might be open enrollment time for you. Please, maybe it's time for you to reconsider how you protect yourself and family. To learn more about MediShare, visit MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched, or call their nice folks, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to Scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, young man, while you're heading to class, may I ask you a question on the radio? What athletic competition are you going to or coming from?
Oh, I'm just going to class right now.
You look like soccer or something.
No, I'm going to play basketball.
Lacrosse. Oh, basketball. That's it. Yeah. All right, how tall are you?
Probably like 6'3".
You got any pins? Can you jump?
I can jump a little bit.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What position do you play?
Shooting guard.
Shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
You like to shoot the ball, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. All right, what are you studying here at Atlanta Christian College?
I'm an undecided major right now, but I'm just doing everything.
And why did you pick this school?
Because my friend was coming here, and he said he'd visit a couple times, and it was a good atmosphere, so.
Now, do you have to be a Christian to go to this Atlanta Christian College?
No.
Are you a Christian?
I am.
Cool. Tell me how to become a Christian.
Really, just go to church and start learning about it and just
What do I need to learn?
Really just read the Bible and just see what it has to say and the life, or the lessons you need to base your life by.
Okay, here's the deal. You got out of your car, and you didn't even realize it. Is that your car right there, that black one?
Yes.
Nice car, dude. You're a student. What do you? Is that your mom's car?
It is.
It better be. Okay, you rolled over me. I'm lying here in the parking lot, and I got blood coming out of my ears. Dude who can jump and shoot. I'm afraid to die. Help! What would you say to me?
Well, first I'd probably call a hospital and see if I needed to call an ambulance or take you there myself.
Okay.
And then
they're on their way. Help! I'm dying here. I don't have time to go to church and read the Bible.
I'd ask you if you knew God. And
no, who is he?
He's our Lord and Savior that made us and created everything here, and that he can save you even from, if you're going to die, from the hell after Earth.
You're telling me I'm going to hell?
No.
I just got a second wind. What are you saying?
I say no, but there's a definite chance that you won't if you know God.
There's a definite chance that I won't.
There's a definite definite that you're not going.
If I know God.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do I need to know him? Why do I even care?
You need to know him because he puts you here and he can take you from here and he can save you from here.
What do I need to be saved from?
Really just the
bad drivers. That's a start.
Yeah, of course.
Too late for that. Now what?
Just the sin of the world and everything around us.
I don't understand what that means.
It means that,
anybody ever tell you look like Joel Osteen?
No.
You do a little. You laugh like
Keanu
him.
Reeves all the time, and I hate it.
So, Keanu, help. I've got seconds to go here. What must I do to be saved?
I don't know what else.
What do I need to be saved from? All right, we're going to turn the role player on.
Okay.
All right, you're on the street. You're
dying.
All right,
dying.
I come up to you. Hey, dude, I've called 911.
Mm-hmm.
Relax. Where are you going when you die?
I'm going to heaven.
How do you know?
Because I just know.
All right, let's make sure. I'm going to give you a test. How many lies have you told in your life?
Lies?
Yeah.
An amount.
Okay, so what does that make you?
That's a sinner.
Specifically a liar, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how many things have you stolen in your career?
Probably a couple, one or two.
Okay, what does that make you?
A thief.
Yeah, all right. A little more personal. How many women have you seen and had X-rated thoughts about?
Probably a couple back in my day.
All right. Back in your day, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Dude, you're in the day. All right. So you've done that. Jesus says that's committing adultery in your heart. You don't need to commit the act. I want to ask if you've ever fornicated. I want to ask if you've looked at porn. But if you just think about stuff, you've committed the act in your heart and God sees it. So you're a lying, thieving adulterer at heart. When you die and God judges you, he opens the books on your life. Will he find you innocent or guilty?
Innocent, because I've repented for everything I've done and haven't done since.
What does that mean, to repent?
To lay it all before him and just admit that you've done it and that you won't, well, that you will do it again, just out of inevitability, but you will always know that it's wrong and you'll try not to do it.
Okay, that's good. So you've repented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else have you done to make sure that you're going to heaven? There's more to it than just repenting. Saying you're sorry
isn't
enough.
Spread the word to other people and make sure that
That would be bribing God by doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
Have you trusted Jesus Christ for your eternity?
Yes.
As the fine payer for the laws that you've broken? Because that's what sin is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You're a lawbreaker. God's wrath abides upon you because you've sinned against him. But he's good and he's merciful, and he sent his son to die in your place to take the punishment you deserve. And if you'll respond by repenting, doing all that stuff you said, saying you're sorry, turning from your sins, forsaking your sins, and trusting the Savior, then God can dismiss your court case.
Mm-hmm.
And he can see you because of the good work that Jesus did as righteous. So that's why you're going to heaven, because you've repented and put your trust in Jesus. Is that right?
That's right.
You're not earning it.
No.
No? It's a gift by God.
Yeah.
Complete grace through faith in Jesus alone, right? Okay. That's There you go.
Yeah.
So the next time somebody approaches you, you can help people understand that they're sinners by using the commandments. That's what I did with you. Lying, stealing, adultery of the heart. And then they can understand they're a sinner. Then they understand the cross and that Jesus died for them. And they'll understand they need to repent and put their trust in him. Mm-hmm. Right? When did you do that? When did you repent and put your trust in Jesus?
When I was 14.
14. Mm-hmm. Okay, so been 5 years, right? Have you been living for the Lord for the last half a decade?
Yes.
And if I got all your friends together, they'd say the same thing?
Yes.
Read your Bible every day?
Yes.
Do you? Is Jesus, really big word here, is Jesus precious to you?
Yes.
How come?
Because he's what I base my life on, and I put all my trust in him, so he has to be there for me, and I know that he is.
All right. Dude, thanks for the chat.
No problem.
I appreciate it very
much.
Thank you. All right, man.
See you.
Have a good class. Okay. How did he do? At the end, it came out very clearly. We now, at the very least, not only need to help people articulate it well, but be able to share it also. We are at, oh, this guy's got to be a Christian. He's got a huge cross around his neck. Let's see if he will be able to tell me at Atlanta Christian College what I must do to be saved. Dude, I got to ask you a question on the radio. Will you talk to me for just a moment?
Sure.
What is all this stuff on your, what does your shirt say?
My shirt, this is crown holder right here. This is brand that came out a while back.
What is it? Crown holder. What does that
crown
mean?
Crown holder. It's, I don't know exactly what it means, but
you like it. Okay. What are these? What are these words? Can you, I can't even read them. What does that say?
Says, can you, hold on, let
me, sloth? Is that what it says? Gloth. Root. I can't read it.
Can't read it.
Okay. Here. Better yet.
Look
you
like
have
Greek, got, look like Greek words.
It does a little bit. Okay, I don't know if this is the right word now, but that is a very blingy cross you got right there.
Yeah, man, it's my baby right here.
Your cross is. How come?
Cause I wear it everywhere I go. You know, it represents me. You know,
it represents you.
It represents
what
me.
What does the cross represent?
The cross, it just represents how close I am. You know, to God. I love God.
How come?
Because I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for him. So I always keep this for a reminder, you know. Then I got a ring right here with Jesus on there.
You sure do.
Yeah.
All right. What did Jesus do on the cross?
Well, he died on the cross.
Yeah. How come?
He died. He died for all of us.
Okay. How come?
So we could be forgiven. Because we all sinners, of course.
And what happens if we're not forgiven by God?
If we're not forgiven, then if we're not forgiven, it's no point.
There's no point to what?
And no point in loving, you know. God doesn't love us.
How's about if we don't have God's forgiveness, he's got to punish us for breaking his laws, and he's got to send us to hell?
Right?
Yeah. But Jesus, because he's kind and he's good and he's loving, took the punishment that you deserve for breaking God's laws, right?
Right?
That's good news. That's what the cross represents right there. Forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, right?
Right.
Okay. Have you repented?
Repented.
Do you know what that means?
Ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah, I have.
And turned from your sins?
Many times. Yeah.
But do you remember the time when you were made alive, when you were born again, when you got saved, when you stopped living for yourself, you turned from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus? Do you remember when that happened?
Actually, when I was younger, I was baptized. My mother. I was about 3 years old. My mother took me to church. She wasn't saved. So she took me to church. She got saved, and that same day, they baptized me. So,
But when did you get saved? When did you repent and put your trust in Jesus?
When I got saved was... I was in a terrible accident. And I could have died, you know, but
God spared your life.
Yeah.
Did you call out to him for forgiveness?
Right. Yeah. I called out for forgiveness.
You turned from your sins?
Yes, sir.
Put your trust in Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one who died on that cross for you?
Right.
Yeah, because God spared your life, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and it gave you a real sense of what God could do to you if you died in your sins. All right, so you know for sure you're saved, right?
Right.
All right, man. Rock on. Hey, thanks for the chat. See you, man. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.